Welcome to Richard Taylor's podcast. We trust you will be inspired, challenged, and encouraged.
Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Who are you?" But Jesus gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Speak. Do you not know me? Do you not know I have the power to crucify you and have the power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, except it was given to you from above. Therefore, he that has delivered me to you have the greater sin." From thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate heard these things, he brought Jesus, sat down at the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was at that very present time, the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The priest answers, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Bearing his cross, he went forth to a place called the Place of the Skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing said this, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." I want you for a few moments tonight to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit from the text. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." There are people here tonight there that have been written off by other people and even by themselves. Just like that girl Clyde mentioned, come to the end of herself, having pulled upon all the resources and the strength that she had within herself. She had nothing left, and she'd come to the end of herself. And sometimes we write ourselves off when God is trying to write us in. And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." And I declare to you tonight, what God has written over your life, he has written. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. No scheme of man. Whatever destiny God has planned for your life, God has written it down. It is yours. You've got to receive it. You've got to walk in it. You've got to believe it. That no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you and gave himself for you. That the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. Ha! That's good Anglican preaching. Now I'm going to go into Pentecostal mode. Ha ha ha. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. But here's what I want to say to you. Prior to the statement made by Pilate, Jesus, an innocent man, not just a historical figure, but God incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Crucified. Crucified between two criminals. Nobody is beyond the reach of redemption. Nobody is beyond the love of God. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your sexual gender is. I don't care what group you belong to. I don't care how far you think you are from God. God sent his son to die on the cross for your sin because he loves you. Huh? There is no sin that can keep you out of his love. His love can break down walls, break open prison bars. His love can break through heroin addiction, alcoholism, depression, suicide, having too much money in the bank. He can even get to some of you. Hallelujah. Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. Crucified between two criminals. It was a committee that crucified him. Yeah, moving on. Crucified. Crucified. Why would an innocent man be crucified? The Bible tells us that he took upon himself your sin and mine. And the Bible says that the wages of all sin is death. For the soul that sins will surely die. So, in fact, in this room tonight, every one of us one day will die. But as a believer that has received Jesus, when I face death, I don't face death with any fears. Why? Because even though I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Through the cross, he took your sin. He took my sin. He paid the wages that we ought to have paid, which was death. And he died in my place and yours. So that we could be forgiven of our sin. When we believe what Jesus did on the cross, we believe not only did he die on the cross, there's a reason why this is an empty cross. Because he is not here anymore. The grave could not hold him. Some of you have been held by a grave. Grave of defeat, the grave of sickness, grave of divorce, grave of bankruptcy. Grave of cancer, diabetes, whatever it is, it speaks of your grave. I got news for you. On the third day, he rose again. He rose again from the grave because he has power over death and power over sin and power over the grave. Hallelujah. No, sin could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Pilate could not really punish him. Why? Because he said, you take this temple down, and on the third day, I will rise again from the dead. I speak to every atheist right now. You can visit every religion of the world, and you can visit their tombs. Their bones are still in the grave. You can go to Israel and visit the tomb of Jesus. And I got news for you. He ain't there. Well, you know, my theological, historical perspective on the matter. They took him and they crucified him. And you know, the blood that he shed wasn't just any old blood. This was divine blood. This blood is the only thing that can cleanse a soul of sin. Nothing else. We used to sing a hymn. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Why? Because what happened on this cross was the most defining moment in the whole of creation and human history. For it wasn't just a man that hung on this cross. It was God himself in the person of his dear son. And when he shed his blood, watch this. This is so important. Watch. When his blood rolled from his head and his hands and his feet, when it hit the dust of the earth, the scripture that says that Jesus died for the sins of the world, at that moment when the blood hit the dust and curdled in the dust, at that very moment, divine blood touched earthly dust. What is the significance of that? You and I were created from the dust of the earth. Genesis in the first chapter, and God created us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And then, of course, woman was taken from his side because God thought he could do a better job second time round. We're taking offering just for the ladies now. Watch this. Why was she called woman? Why woman? Eve, why woman? I'll tell you why. Adam had never seen a woman before. And when she was created, he went, "Whoa, man!" That's why she was called woman. Some of you have just, "I'm going to use that. I like that." First woman, Eve. Here's what I want you to see. You see, we are but fallen dust, marred by sin, unclean because of sin. And the very act of divine blood falling to the earth, into the dust of the earth, is the moment by which God now made it possible for all mankind, made it possible, not efficacious, but possible, for all mankind to find redemption and cleansing from the blood and be made new, a new creation, born again. You understand that? But here's what's more important. There are people here tonight, and some of you may be watching the live stream. And you know about Jesus. You know about the cross. You know the gospel message. Some of you had it in Sunday school on a flannel board. Jesus, place a flag in the sandcastle of my heart and all that stuff. Sunshine corner, all place of joy in Jesus. And you can come to church and never know Jesus as your Savior. You can have communion. You can have waters of the baptism on your face, still wet, and not know Jesus. It's not enough to belong to a church. It's not enough to call yourself a Christian. It's not enough to say you're born again. You have to know Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can know Jesus, the only way, is through the cross. Let me tell you something. If you hear any preaching that says you don't need the cross anymore, run as far away from that preacher as you can. At the cross, don't play it, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. I remember the night, August the 11th, 1993, in Abertillery. Via Swansea HMP. In a small lounge, and Jesus appeared to me on a cross. And he spoke to me from the cross, and he told me, I love you, and I have a plan for your life. Watch this. I fell on my knees, and the moment that blood hit the ground brought redemption. But that redemption did not become my redemption until I bowed the knee to the Lordship of Christ. I bowed the knee in the dust of the earth and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. And at that very moment, the divine touched this humane, and this heart was regenerated and born again by the Spirit. And I didn't need anybody to tell me I was a Christian. I knew I was a Christian. And some of you, and I believe this to be true, some of you, you might have a doctrinal answer for this, but stuff your doctrinal answer for a minute, will say, well, I'm not quite sure. Let me tell you something. If you're not sure, you ain't. You know, when you know that you have been born again. You can't have the third person of the Trinity come alive in your sinful heart and say, oh, well, I don't really know. You will know when you are born again. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells me so. Because of his Spirit, I know that I've been adopted. I know that I'm a son. I'm a child of God. Because his Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And I know. I'm not talking about having a doubt. I'm talking about you know. And I don't want to assume in this building of hundreds of people tonight and those watching the live stream that you know that if you were to die tonight before you left this meeting, that you would know without any doubt in your heart, without any belief, without anything that says, I don't know if I am saved, I don't know Jesus, then you are not saved. But the good news is, you can be saved tonight. Ha! I'm not talking about an altar call. I'm not talking about putting your hand up. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost coming inside of you. You knowing that the divine has touched the humane and that you've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. All through the work of the cross and the price he paid. I want everybody to stand very quickly. Those of you watching at home, listen very carefully right now. Everybody standing. Churches that are tuned into the live stream, stand where you are right now. All the churches tuned in, you stand where you are right now. This is before we minister tonight. This is the most important thing of all tonight on God's heart. Not the miracles, not the healings, not even our gathering of hundreds of people, and it's all for one thing, for the souls of men and women to know Jesus as their Savior. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes across this building. And everybody, I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what your background is. You know what? I don't need to know. This I do. God loves you. And I don't care how sinful you've been. I don't care if you were sinning to your back teeth before you came to this meeting. I don't care if you're stinking drunk in here tonight. I don't care if you're high on drugs tonight. I don't care if you're on prescription tablets. I don't care if you've been sleeping around. I don't care what your sin is. God loves you. I don't care. I don't care. If you're a church goer and you love going to church but you don't know Jesus, Jesus wants to get to know you. And do you know for sure that if you were to die tonight, that you would leave this life and you would go to heaven to be with Jesus? If you don't know tonight, you can know in your heart, you can know that you know that you know that you've been born again. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and those watching the live stream, I'm going to count to three. And if you say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus tonight, that if I was to die, then I know I'm going to be with him in heaven. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, raise that hand high up in the air. Then I want to meet you, talk with you, and pray with you very quickly. Get ready. Whoever you are, you've been brought by somebody. Somebody's brought you to the meeting. You don't know all this. You don't need all the answers. You need Jesus. Get ready now. One, two, three. Just raise your hand high, right up high. Doesn't matter how young you are. God bless you, how old you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Any more? Keep them raised. Come on, keep them raised. Is there more here tonight? Come on, Christians. You should be praying. People are making decisions. Come on, somebody. Get excited in this place. Keep those hands raised. God bless you. Anybody else? God is waiting on the live stream. I'm going to get reports coming in now from my guys. You're on the live, anybody on live stream, come on. You need to respond to Christ tonight. Give your heart to him. He loves you. He has a plan. Anybody else? Raise your hands high. Quick, quick, quick. Raise them. Thank you. Anybody else? One more time. Raise those hands where you were. Raise them up. Raise them up. Raise them up. I want you to leave your chair quickly. Come and stand at the front. Come and stand. I want to meet you. Come on. Let's welcome them as they come tonight, church. Over there. Over there. Come on. Get excited. Those hands raised there, don't be embarrassed. Come on. Get those guys out. I want every those hands raised in the front there as well. Yeah, don't matter how young you are. Yeah, come on. You guys raise your hands. Now, this is important. Listen to me. You've got to understand this. Why do we call people out? I'll tell you why. The Bible says we're to confess publicly before men. Because when we confess the decision we've made before men, God says, Jesus says, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. That's what salvation is. Not just believing in your heart, but confessing with your mouth. It's a public confession. There's no such thing as secret Christians. We don't do this in secret. We've already come out of the closet a long time ago. So I'm going to wait. Anybody else who raised their hands or needs to be at the front, you come now. We're going to wait for you. Come on. If you're here, just come. I'm not going to... Come on. You need to make the decision. I'm fishing. I don't care. You lot do what you want. I'm sitting on my... And I'm fishing. Is there anybody else here? Let me know in the chat or on that live stream. Is there anybody else? Quickly. Well, come and join these precious folks and make a decision tonight. God bless you. Thank you very much. Come on. That's great. Come on. Somebody get excited. Anybody else? Jesus died. We're going to wait. I just sense there's more. The Holy Ghost is the greatest evangelist. You know that, don't you? It ain't me evangelizing right now. It's the Holy Ghost. He's pulling. I know he is. Just give in to him. Just let him do it. Come on down. There's somebody else. There's two or three more people. I just sense there's a few more people that need to make this decision. Come on, you come now. Where are you? I'm going to wait for you. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're right at the back. I'm going to wait for you in the wings. I'm going to wait for you. Is there one more? Is there anybody else? Yeah, come on, young man. God bless you, young man. Enjoy it. There's still more. There's still more. I know there's more. I know there's more. I'm going to wait for you. God bless you, mate. I'm going to wait because there's more. I'm going to do your nutting. I'm going to wait. Because listen, I get one chance of this. This is, I'm talking about people's eternal destiny. I'm not here to play church. If we were doing church, folks, we would have given a benediction, about an hour ago. So, I'm waiting. I sense there's more people. Where are you? You need to come. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait. There's one more here. God is knocking on the door of your heart. Come on, come to the cross tonight. You need to come to the cross. You need to come to the cross tonight. Come on, bring your sins to him. He'll forgive you. Bring your sin to him. He will forgive you. Come on. going to wait. Where are you? Christians, don't get impatient, you miserable lot. You should be praying because people are making very serious decisions here for the first time. There's one more person. I'm going to wait for you. Don't come. You will not be able to come to me at the end of the meeting and say, Pastor, I wanted to come forward, but you won't even see me after the meeting. I'm like Elijah. I'm gone in a chariot of fire. You need to be here now. You really do. Where are you? God bless you. Is this young man coming out? No, he's just returned. Very dangerous to walk about in a meeting, fella. Which reminds me, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to tell you a story. What you do where you stood. I'm going to wait for these people. We're going to pray for you in a second. A few years ago, I was in a church preaching and giving an altar call for people to come forward for salvation. People came forward like this. And I saw a young lady walk down the aisle, and I said to the church, come on, folks, let's thank Jesus. This young lady's come in to give her life to the Lord, and everyone's clapping, and she comes down, and I pray for her. The Spirit of God touches her. She falls over. She gets back up. She goes back to her chair, and great, so, you know, wonderful. And then some of my team then went up to her afterwards and said, so, you give your life to the Lord tonight? She says, no. Well, you went to the front, and you fell over, and, you know, the Holy Spirit, and No, I went to the toilet. It's true. And I came back into the meeting, and the man up there, the preacher, he got everybody clapping. And so I felt really embarrassed, so I just thought I may as well just go down to the front. It's a true story. And then she said this. Then he put his hands on my head, and I had a very funny feeling come all over me. I felt this heat of electricity go through me. I fell over the floor. I thought, what's that? I got back up, went to my chair. And then they led it to Christ then afterwards. So don't walk around in my meeting. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous to be walking around in the meeting. Each one of you here, I want you to know the decision you're making tonight is very, very, very important. For you to know in your heart, to know Jesus personally, not because you know of him, but you know him. We're going to pray a prayer together, and I'm going to come and pray with you. And I want all of this congregation here gathered and those watching the live stream, you can pray. We've got a decision on live stream. We've got one decision on live stream as well. God bless you. Come on, angels are rejoicing. The Bible says over one sinner. Come on, Jesus. Watching the live stream. Do we have a name? Do we have a name? Lorraine. Lorraine, God bless you. I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear your testimony. Send it into us by email. We'd love to hear from you. Come on, folks. Those of you watching the live stream, you need to be phoning other people up and saying, get onto this live stream. Give them the link. Get them on here. Because I tell you, they might not come to church, but they'll sit at home and take a sneak peek. They won't be able to keep away. Everybody that stood here and those of you standing, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner in need of forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I repent. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose again to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. God bless you, Lorraine. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Ha ha.
We trust you enjoyed listening to the podcast today. For more information, why not head over to Richard's website, www.richietaylor.org. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our channel.